You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on, Leafs Nation? Offside is back in your ears, and we're sitting down with friend of the show, Mr. Terry Koshan. Terry, how's it going today?
Good, James. How are you?
You know what? Like I said earlier to you before we jumped on, living the dream, million miles an hour, but enjoying every second of it.
Good. Good to hear.
So let's get right into it. These Maple Leafs, they are a different kettle of fish this year.
Yep.
But I want to know from you, when you think about this season so far, the Maple Leafs are what to you?
Going in the right direction. It's hard to really dissect. It's not hard to dissect the season. But, you know, coming to some conclusions about it, I mean, listen, you go through a patch where they start the year thinking that one of the guys is going to be their main goaltenders. It's terrible. Has to go rediscover his game. Injuries on the blue line throughout a lot of it. And at the same time, you're having people up front who are having career years. And two of them in particular are Austin Matthews, of course, and William Nylander.
Yep. But
there was a lot that had to come together for this team. And, you know, I think what's impressive to me the most, James, is that they're steaming toward another 100-point season. And, look, we get that the regular season, quote-unquote, doesn't count. Well, fine. In the end, it doesn't. But you have to do good things in the regular season. You have to team build. You have to do all these things that make it work in the end. And they've done a lot of that. And listen, I know Sheldon Keefe has his detractors. I'm not one of them. I just listed a bunch of things that could have made a bunch of other teams go off the rails or at least not do as well as they could have. And that's not what's happened with this Leafs team. So, Brad Treliving, one of his themes, as we know, James, the defense has been a work in progress all along. He said even after the trade deadline, it's got to be done by committee. But I would think that, you know, I thought it was an underwhelming deadline for the GM, but if you've seen what certainly you got, like Joel Edmondson has brought in, that element, a little bit lesser Labushkin because he hasn't played as much, and then some nice depth in Connor Dewar. But it's a different Leaf group now. If Edmondson and McKay can keep doing what they're doing physically and kind of lead that tone or set that tone, I mean, then, you know, it's going to give them a different look that they have not had in the playoffs before. And that's what you should be asking for to your new guys.
Let me ask you this question. You talked about the deadline being underwhelming. And in the Toronto market, there's been many teams, whether it's the Raptors, the Blue Jays, where teams have kind of been silently vocal or outright vocal about the team not making moves to support and help the squad. I'll be for one to say that I think the moves that were made here were the right ones. They weren't flashy. They weren't big or sexy, but they addressed what this team needed, which was guys to be physical, guys to be on the penalty kill, guys with energy. Yep. Is what they brought in. But I want to know, like, around that room, I mean, you're there, you get to talk to the guys and get to be around the team sometimes. What was the mood after the deadline? Do you think the guys were bracing themselves for a bigger move? Because there was a whole lot of stuff out in the media, you know, about what they would bring in or what they could move. And Some guys seem like they're gripping their stick a little tighter heading into that deadline. So,
well, I think that always happens.
Yep.
Even though they know, we joked around with Max Domi about a week before the deadline, and he was, you know, having been traded before and this sort of thing. And obviously, you know, Max has kind of made it around the league a bit. And I said to him at the end of one of the scrums, I said, "You're not worried about next week, are you?" He just laughed and said, "No, I'm not." So I was joking, of course. But
oh, you know, yeah, for sure. I know.
Yeah. But, you know, the yeah, there's you're going to be gripping your stick a little tighter just because you want to get through it. Not that you think that you're going to get dealt, but for anybody, once you get to 3:01 on March 8th, 3:01 p.m. Eastern, and if you're still with the team that you were starting with, you know, you're probably going to be in a much better mood and you can relax a bit. You don't want to go out and play relax, but you can because you're, you know, it's come and gone. But look, when Treliving was adamant that he wasn't going to trade his first rounder for Marental, which is fine, and, you know, you're not going to trade Easton Cowan or Fraser Mann. Then your options are that much more limited, obviously, of what you can bring in. And, you know, the star player on the blue line that was available, Noah Hanifin, made it fairly clear he's going to sign with an American team, U.S.-based yeah. team, come July 1. And that's one of the worst kept secrets in the NHL. I mean, I think everyone would be stunned if he signed north of the border on July 1st, but not going to happen. So you're not going to trade for that guy. And then what, you know, your first round pick and you know, throw that out the door for a guy who's not going to be around. You know, what Brad wound up doing was, you know, sticking to his guns more or less, looking at the team and saying, okay, yeah, I'm helping you with some of these different element players I'm bringing in, but also the core is the same. A lot of the people around the core are the same. In fact, they all are. And pre-post deadline. So let's, you know, it's on you guys to go get this done. And yes, I've augmented it a bit, but, you know, not so much put your money where your mouth is. I guess kind of it is. But, you know, they've been around. They've been together long enough. So he has that confidence in them, if you will. Or if it's not confidence, then acknowledging that maybe I'm not going to do as much as other people would like. But, yeah, when you're sitting on those assets and this is what you're going to have in the end, that's not taking anything away from the three guys they added. But I think it was a wise thing to do. Argument here too, James, I don't know what you think about this, but well, you have to go all in every year when you have Austin Matthews and William Nylander and Mitch Marner. And I guess to a little bit of lesser extent, John Tavares, really those three players. Well, two of them aren't going anywhere. Yeah. And you don't go all in this year. You see how things can be done. It still is the GM's first year on the job, not even a full year, of course. There will be opportunities to do this down the line. And, of course, we have to, you know, we'll have to see what becomes of Mitch Marner's long-term future. But underwhelming, yeah, originally was my thought. I still think it is to a degree, but I also don't have an issue with it because, you know, you when the division even is as tight as it is, never mind the playoffs, it's kind of hard to sell a bit of the farm when you could get knocked out in the first round and no one would necessarily fault you for that given the nature of the opponent you're going to have.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like this for the Maple Leafs too, Terry. I mean, Cale Yarncroke has been injured for a good chunk of the season. So getting him, again, now we have to wait again for him to be healthy. Yeah. But you get him healthy and back just before the playoffs, that's a huge addition.
Yep.
Guys that Maple Leafs would have been chasing last year at the deadline, which they were connected to at some points or others, were the Tyler Bertuzzis, were the Max Domis that are already here as well.
Yeah.
So, and then you also have guys that you're not pushing out of your lineup because you're bringing in depth pieces. Right. You're allowing them more time to flourish. And I'm talking about a Bobby McMahon.
Yeah.
I'm talking about guys like David Kampf, who a lot of people had put into deals and things like that, or even Gregor or Holmberg. All of these players now understand and feel maybe a little bit more confident that they have a role that wasn't given to a new player coming in, sure, other than Connor Dewar. But I think he was a necessary add to this team because he adds to the penalty kill, which is one of their weak points.
Yeah, well,
which is something they need to address.
Yeah, they didn't, you know, they watched a lot of these great penalty killers go out the door last summer, and yep, they weren't replaced. You know, Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi weren't going to come in and kill penalties for you. We knew that. So they're, what do they have to do? Sheldon Keefe has to say, okay, well, I've got to use William Nylander here more often, and I think Willie's been fine with it for the most part. Austin Matthews hasn't had the opportunity much of one like we thought he would. He's been out a bit, but so yeah, you have to add a guy like Connor Dewar. There's no doubt. And as far as the PK goes, at this point, James, it is what it is. I hate to use that term because it bothers me, but it's not going to improve by leaps and bounds between now in the playoffs or in the playoffs. You just have to grit your teeth and hope you get through with it because it's been like that all season for the most part, right? You know, it doesn't hurt them. It's a funny thing. The other night against Edmonton, you know, yeah, a great kill right off the bat. And by the time the game is out of hand in the Leafs' favor in the third, they allow a couple of power play goals, which you can gloss over in my mind because the way they played for 40 minutes in that game was excellent. And, you know, what should be a blueprint for the playoffs. But the PK, We'll see where it goes from here. But, you know, you talked about the guys who, like you said, have that confidence and they weren't replaced. McMahon's a great example. And some of McMahon and Holmberg, too, that I find interesting is a lot of the goals they're scoring are goal scorer goals. And not necessarily the type. I know McMahon's playing up and Holmberg has been, too. But when all things, when everyone's healthy, they won't be. But guys, they're scoring kind of goals you don't necessarily see from your depth players.
That's it, yep.
In the manner of it. So that can only help to in the future. Like I said, Dewar is going to be good. But, you know, the one guy that you kind of feel for in all this, and we're not talking, I know he's on the blue lines, Simone Benoit. He's come in and been a hell of a player for them all year, relatively speaking. I'm not saying he's the next Bobby Orr or anything, but he's been a real solid add for them. And he's the guy who gets the short end of the stick when the numbers game comes to the fore. Joel Edmondson has added, Ilya Labushkin has added, he's been sitting a bit. So he's not thrilled about it. No player would be. But certainly Keith now knows that you're not throwing a guy in there when you need him, and you will, because more injuries will happen that you're not sure about. Benoit has been really good for them, and he will be really good for them. But, you know, like you said, when you're only bringing in three players for the well, that's all they brought in. You lose a guy in Lagesson and the blue lines Weavers. That instills confidence in some of those guys who are still there, who did make it through and say, okay, yeah, this is the opportunity. Go show us.
Yeah. So for me, we'll get to Brody and Benoit on that in just a couple of minutes, but I'll add this tidbit on it. I'm on the full milk truck wagon from Joe Bowen. That guy needs to be in the lineup. He brings energy. He's infectious. He hits, he blocks shots, but the boys rally around him too. Yeah. And so do the fans. And that's something you need in your lineup, I think, every single night. I look at a game like last night against Carolina, and I say, if Simone Benoit's in there, he's doing something in that game to spark some energy, to bring some grit, some jam, some juice, whatever you want to call it. He does that, and it gets everybody else fired up, and maybe it gives you a few shifts where you're up to 10, right? Because that game, we all can say the first two periods, they were lackluster. They were not connecting on passes. The skating wasn't there like it was against the Edmonton Oilers. It was almost like a championship fight where you empty your gas tank in the first round, which was the Oilers, and have nothing for the rest of the fight, is what it looked like for Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to say, the tough thing about the Carolina game was you take a couple of mistakes out of it, and the Leafs are right there at the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Carolina scores right off the hop, and I don't know what McCabe was thinking on that, you know, no-look pass from beyond his own goal line. But, you know, eventually
done it many times this season.
They get disorganized and they can't set, and the puck's in the back of the net, and, you know, Brody's flailing around a bit, but, you know, a tough start. Now, if they don't play back-to-back, if it's not a back-to-back situation, is Brody sitting a third game? Perhaps, because this is the things that Sheldon Keefe had said to us about Brody earlier on, was, you know, the mental reset and needs to be away from it for a bit to kind of, you know, get his mind back into it. Well, I don't know about you, James, but to me, that was you'd think it would take longer than just watching a couple of games before, boom, you're right back in there, right?
Yeah.
But you have the schedule. The schedule says what happens is, you know, you play Edmonton, you beat them soundly, you hop on a plane, you're flying to Raleigh, North Carolina, and Toronto to Raleigh is not, it's a couple hours. It's not like a quick flight to Boston or Philly or Montreal or Ottawa or Detroit. And so you're probably not at your hotel till 3 a.m. And, you know, the game has moved up an hour because Carolina has some of these 5-6 o'clock home games on Sundays, and puck drops at 6. So you lose an hour at that end. Not an excuse, but just these are the things that happen. So you put Brody in, and, you know, there's a bit of recovery there for the rest of the game. I'm curious, no practice today, of course. I'm curious to see where Keith goes the lineup tomorrow night against the Devils and then against the Caps on Thursday at home. But, yeah, you know what? That game is interesting. I know Keith was really subdued after, James, but given the way that, like I just talked about, the things, factors working against them, I thought they were okay. I thought they were fine. You know, you're playing against one of the toughest teams in the league defensively. We know how good Carolina is. You know, a really good defense core. They really added well to their players up front, of course, in the trades that they made, especially in Jake Guentzel at the trade deadline. So it's a tough opponent. Carolina didn't play Saturday. They're rested. A lot of things working against the Leafs, but I thought they really dug in and availed themselves well, even though they did lose by one goal in regulation.
Yeah, that one puck doesn't go off Jake McCabe's foot and into the net in a weird hop.
Right, yeah. I was trying to remember, like, as I'm talking, what did I know the second one was pretty bad, too, and that's right.
Puck's it was just a weird hop. If that didn't happen.
Yeah, right. You know, I know Keefe's not thrilled that they only scored one the rest of the way, and, you know, good on Nick Robertson for scoring, because I think for him, you know, the rest of the game was not good, to say the least. No. I mean, one of the worst penalties we've seen all year. It's at the end of a long shift. I get that, but I don't know what he's thinking on that high stick thing. And I know he's trying to get the puck down, but even if you make contact, the whistle's going to be blown almost immediately with the puck, I mean. And, you know, some defensive decisions that are likely the types of things that, well, likely they will be the types of things that keep him out of the lineup in game one if everyone's healthy.
I'll say this about Nick Robertson, Terry. I've been a big fan of him. You know, we talked about this in the summer. I wanted this guy to crack the top six. I wanted him to have a run. I wanted him to be a part of this team. But right now, where they're inserting him in the lineup after so much time, again, where he hasn't been in, he's been unhappy, you know, and all these things are kind of working against him, I look at it and say, is the stretch drive where it's the most pressure and you're asking him basically to play a bottom six role, a checking kind of role, and not be up with the offensive guys, really, except for on the second power play unit, which you can argue is still not the top-notch thing. No. You're asking him to play a role that he's not designed for. Yeah. And it's really, you can see it's kind of wearing on him because he's trying to do too much with the stick movement and, you know, trying to like shift the shoulders and do the offensive things he does. Yeah. But he's asked to do that in more of a checking role with the players he's playing with. He looked good, by the way, with Max Domi. He looked good, by the way, with John Tavares when he had him on the third line. But that's not happening right now. And he looks kind of, in my opinion, just out of place where he's playing third or fourth.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But you're not moving Bobby McMahon from where he is right now, obviously.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. I'm thinking for me, I'd go find another guy that's in the Marlies as a grit and jam kind of player.
Yeah, so there's that spot gone for Robertson. And listen, if he was doing those things we talked about, James, consistently during the times he's in the lineup, then he probably would be playing higher up. I don't want to compare players because they are very different in what they do, but I guess I will. Matthew Knives adjusted really well this year at the NHL. Would you look at his production and go, boy, I wish it was higher playing where he played? Well, yeah, you probably would. But he hasn't been a defensive liability for them. He's played against some tough matchups this year, and he's come out of it the other side. Now, Knives is a different player than Robertson. I get that. He's more physical, obviously a lot bigger than Nick Robertson is. So there are different elements. But the fact of the matter is the decision-making came to him quicker than it has for Robertson. And, you know, is Robertson best suited to be playing with more offensively talented players? Sure he is. But, you know, over the long haul, game by game by game, you don't want to get into those situations where you can't trust them defensively. And unfortunately for him right now, that's what we're still with Sheldon Keefe. Now, having said that, we know that there are going to, like, you know, Marner and Yarncroft will be out forever, or they'll be back. Yeah. And, you know, if everybody's healthy, I don't think that Robertson's in the game one lineup, but he'll have to be ready because the longer the Leafs go in the playoffs, as we all know, the greater chance there will be of somebody getting injured, and he will be inserted. There's not someone else coming from the Marlies to take that job right now. That's him.
Yeah.
Him and Ryan Reeves probably, right? They won't be in that lineup. Everybody's healthy, I would assume. We'll have to see. Maybe if it's Florida, maybe Reeves is in. I don't know. If it's because they're a little more physical than Boston is, we'll have to – that'll all get worked out. But, you know, those guys have to be ready because they are going to be called upon at some point.
Yeah, I think if you play the more physical team in Florida, Reeves is in there. I think even if you do play Boston, I think you put him in there to set a tone, kind of like they did against the Edmonton Oilers, right, where they were physical right off the hop and really – got the Oilers off their game and just made it difficult. And that's not something the Leafs have been known for. And guess what? Everybody's talking now about these physical Leafs. Elliot Friedman was talking about it. They're talking about it on the broadcast that this team is physical and they're, you know, they're kind of imposing their will a bit more. And then you got Domi talking about he can't wait to see Edmondson in the playoffs because he's laying the cross checks on Dreisaitl and, you know, making his night miserable. And, you know, that stuff gets let go a little bit more in the playoffs. So the Leafs haven't had those things really working for them in a good degree with this much physicality in the lineup. Because you can now name, before it was like we'd name Hyman and maybe Muzzin. Those were the guys that were physical. Yeah, and then you kind of stop. Yeah. Now you can say, hey, you got Reeves, you got Benoit, you got Labushkin, you got Edmondson, Bertuzzi to a degree, Domi to a degree. Yeah. So you finally got some physicality. And Matthew Knies is no slouch either. Okay. He likes to throw the body. So, and McMahon, his face is all banged up, but he also likes to toss the check in there. So this team is different, in my opinion, for the physical-wise than we've seen. And that's been the knock against this squad for a while. They're not rugged enough, that people say. Yeah. to go in the playoffs. I think they are more rugged this year than they have been probably in the past 4 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I agree with that. And, you know, the fact of that matter is, though, what it's going to boil down to once the playoffs get going, it's going to be how your Stars lead and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it is. And, you know, a lot of these NHL teams, of course, that have any team that has won the Cup has had that physical element we're getting at. But you need your star players to lead the way. And if they don't have that, all of these guys can hit everything that they want. You're not going to get too far. And that's the challenge this year for this Leaf team. Because as we know, James, we've seen it happen once last year, the one win against Tampa in the first round. And, you know, everyone's happy for about 48 hours or so. And then five games later against Florida, they're done. Now, a lot of those games went to overtime, could have gone either way, but the fact of the matter is they didn't. So those guys are going to have to lead, but I'm with you on that. It's a different look for the Leafs, period, one that we haven't seen. And, you know, like I said earlier, you got Edmondson and McCabe leading the way, and that can be a little contagious. It just is. McCabe said that the other night after the Edmondson game. He said, look, you see, if you guys doing it, you want to get going in on it too. I love the – you probably saw that key quote about McCabe early in the morning Saturday when he said he arrives at the puck in a bad mood. That sounds a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
You know, now, do you wish sometimes McCabe was a little – some of the defensive things were ironed out that we saw against Carolina? Sure you do. But you know what? I would argue that if you look through every pack of NHL highlights from every game, every night, you're going to see mistakes made by defensemen that wind up in their own net. It's just a fact of life.
Oh, it happens more often than not.
Yeah, it's just limiting those once the playoffs go, and you know, and getting the guy in net to go on the best tear of his life.
Oh yeah, we'll get there in just a minute. Well, one thing I want to talk about too about this team, not just the physical, but the net drive. The net drive by a lot of different players that we haven't had. A lot of talk about, you know, how Willie is a kind of a perimeter shooter. He does go to the front of the net and get his goals, but his shot is always, you know, down the wing, beautiful shot. That's Willie's style.
Yeah,
pretty much. Matthews, same thing. It's not so much driving the net, but when I'm saying driving the net, I'm talking about Bobby McMahon, Pontus Holmberg, Bertuzzi to a degree, Domi as well. These guys are actually, you know, going towards, even David Kampf now is doing the same thing. That's another thing is kind of contagious. All these guys are starting to drive that net and just causing chaos where, you know, the Leafs weren't getting into, let's call it the dirty areas,
right,
the Zach Hyman areas, if you will. Happy 50 goals to him, by the way. Yep, but yeah, the dirty areas for the Leafs were something in the playoffs that we missed. The depth scoring was something we missed. And it seems like when this lineup is put together optimally, when Marner's back and Yarncroke's back, I mean, if you're running Matthews, Domi, and then on your third C, John Tavares, and flanking them with the wingers that are now producing, I mean, that's a pretty darn good lineup, in my opinion.
Sure.
And that, I think that's what they were looking for last year with Ryan O'Reilly being on this team on the third center. But now you can do it with a guy you already have in John Tavares and still run three solid lines and then a defensive line of Dewar, Kampf, and stick insert player on the other side, whoever you want.
Yeah.
Whatever game it is, right, to make it go. But this team just seems to have more of everything they've been lacking. Now, does it come together in the playoffs? We don't know.
Yeah.
But it seems like the pieces are there, and it seems like this team just can't wait to get to the dance. I think they're kind of tired of the regular season right now.
Well, I think most teams are on the way or are at that point now. You know, you're almost getting to a point where, you know, the Leafs are pretty sure they're going to finish third in the division. You just want to get through it unscathed. And listen, there will be bumps and bruises. We get all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody's playing at 100% health right now. I mean, not this late in the season and not with the way that the Leafs have been playing and the amount of hockey they've been playing. But you just want to get through it now without any major injuries. But it's funny, you know, the whole net front thing, really, you look at it at both ends, because now you have the guys on your blue line who are going to make that area around the paint not fun for the opposing forwards.
Yep.
Have the Leafs had that in the past? No, they haven't. Luke Shen brought it last year, but he came and gone. It was like he was barely here, right? So, but really in the past years, they haven't had it to that degree. You talk about the offensive side of it. Those guys, too, like to go to the net. And they're not, you know, the dirty areas. Matt Nyes is another one, along with the guys that you mentioned. So there is that enthusiasm for it. And the one guy that I think I'm really curious about, James, when the playoffs get going, is Tyler Bertuzzi.
A couple of
look, has he got back to the 30 goal pace of Detroit? No, he hasn't. But you know, the funny about him is we look at the last year in the playoffs, the Bruins, and how well he did. Well, that's really been his only taste of the playoffs in the NHL. So what do you have to do now to get back to that level? To me, would you like to see more of that from Bertuzzi during this regular season? I think so, for sure. But having said that, you know that there is really the potential for that once the playoffs get going. And I know he fought a few weeks ago, and he doesn't really fight a heck of a lot. But that type of scrappiness and everything that, you know, gets him to the front of the net and has him staying there and the work in the corners, I'm looking forward, I guess, to seeing what he can do in the playoffs in that regard. Because, we, like I said, the Leafs and everyone else saw it in a very real brief window last year when he did what he did for the Bruins, the first round against Florida. Not only that, but he produced to get, you know, 10 points in the series. So that potential is there, and it should be, Leafs Nation should be a little excited about that, because, you know, you'd rather err on, okay, we haven't seen it all year from him to the degree we'd like. Does that mean we'll see it in the playoffs? Not so much that, more of, we're pretty sure we are going to see more of this once the playoffs get going. And you don't want to put too much heat on one guy, but I think he would tell you too that he knows he can be better in that regard. And it'll be up to the player to get it done. But you know, I think there's confidence certainly in the coaching staff that he can be that guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's woken up. You know, I'd say the past month and a half, really, his game has changed and shifted, and he's starting to look like the player we all hoped he would be. And hey, if this is him waking up now, just for the right time of the year, I'm on board. Let's go, because yeah, I can enjoy that. One person I do think that has woken up, and that is Joe Woll.
Yeah.
Last night, if it wasn't for him between the pipes, that game would have been way out of hand, in my opinion. He made some stellar saves. He didn't get the victory. Obviously, the offense wasn't there for the Leafs. But I think, in my opinion, I think he's going to be the game one starter. I know Samsonov has had a great redemption arc, and I know Keefe is loving him so far. But for whatever reason, something just tells me that Joe Woll is going to be the guy they go with. He just seems more calm. He also seems to calm the waters when the team isn't playing at its best. Mm-hmm. He kind of gives them that opportunity to find their legs or find the rhythm in a game. And I know everybody's excited by what Samsonov has brought back. Mm-hmm. But I just think the future is Woll, and I think the now will be Woll. But Keefe has said he's going to split the starts. I don't know how that's going to look, depending on how Samsonov feels. And I think it was something to do in the groin area with a cup that might have not felt so great. That's just my own theory on it, mm-hmm, and why they wanted to calm down and for him to feel better. It could have been something else, but that would explain why they said they have to wait and see how he feels.
Right.
And that's why he's not feeling 100%, because something like that happens, it doesn't feel very nice. So,
yeah.
But yeah. I'm going with Woll, but then we also see Jones and Matt Murray.
Yeah,
and everybody's starting to get excited. This playoff Matt Murray showing up. I don't think he's going to play at all.
I listen. We did our own video with the Sun this morning, and we talked about this. Said, look, this Matt Murray story and speculation has taken on a life of its own. I don't understand it. If he plays another game for the Leafs, I'll be shocked. And people can refer to this video tonight that we're doing, James, and say, look, you were wrong. That's fine. I just don't see it.
No.
Martin Jones isn't going to play unless one of those other two get hurt. Like, if Sammy's out for a while here, you know, which Keith doesn't think he's going to be, we'll find out more tomorrow, you know, the skate and that. But if that's the case, then Jones will likely get a start or two. If Samsonov continues to play the way he has, he would be my guy in game one. And the nice thing that Keith has now, for a lot of the reasons you just spoke of on Joe Woll, is that it's a 1A and a 1B. It's not a 1 and a 2 where you're looking at your 2 going, please just make the saves you need to make. Don't worry about anything else.
Yeah.
You have two solid guys that you're confident in. Last night was a great game for Woll. No, they don't win. That's not on him. I mean, you know, the first goal, as we discussed, dreadful giveaway. The second goes off a shin pad or a leg, and the puck's going nowhere near the net. So I don't know any goalie that's going to make that immediate read to make that save. But, I just think there's been enough of a sample size from Samsonov when he's been healthy that if the players playoffs are starting tomorrow, he'd be the guy that I would start. But I can also see the argument for Woll, like you make it. And there are 12 games left. I'm like you, James. I'm curious to see what Keith really does with these 12. And, you know, obviously that goes out the window a bit if, like we said, Samsonov is hurting out for, you know, several games here. But, you know, the door is open. But one of the reasons why the door is open – the best reason why the door is open, because they know that they're both capable. And you know, like I said, you wouldn't want to be at a point where you don't have the confidence in the number two guy. And really, there's confidence in Jones as well.
Yep.
I just don't think we're going to see him unless there are injuries. And, you know, that's been the case all along here. It's been Samsonov or Wall for the most part for the last little while. And I think that's what will happen once the playoffs get going. But, you know, it's no matter who it is, if that guy can start playing the best hockey of his life around April 22nd or 23rd, then the Leafs might be on to something. I bring up the names of Darcy Kemper, Jordan Binnington, Aiden Hill. Just in recent years, people who you do not associate with the Vezina Trophy year in and year out, well, guess what? They were helping their teams lift the cup sometime in June. And anybody can get hot. And if it's one of the Leaf guys, I don't think right now the team or brass would care who it is. If it's one, or the other.
As long as they get it done.
Yeah.
Well, the last question I'll leave you with here before I let you go, and obviously hope to have you back on towards the beginning of the playoffs, but this team, the way it's constructed, I feel, and I said it on many posts today because everybody's kind of putting out there, hey, what do you think this team is going to do posts? I think this team has a chance to go all the way. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that with my Leaf Rose glasses on. I say that this team has the scoring to do it, the depth to do it, looks like the will now to do it, the physical play. We just talked about the goaltending. I think for me, it just comes down to the right buttons being pushed by the coach as well during these series to move guys around willingly to get them away from matchups and things like that. Like most coaches do, we fall back to Cassidy or Cooper who have moved guys around to get guys freed up to play in their better spots. But I think this year, I think the Leafs are equipped to go on a run. I'm wondering, do you feel the same or do you feel this team is still missing just something to make that magic happen?
Well, I don't think they will if they play Florida in the first round. I think just Florida, you know, they were in earlier in the year, James, and I know we're going to see them again here soon in the next little while in Toronto. Paul Maurice is talking about what they gained from that run last year. I know they lose to Vegas in the final, but, you know, they get in, you know, squeaking, whatever the word is you want to put at the end there, at the end of the regular season. So you don't, they go on this run. But for the guys who came back there, you know, the Leafs always talk about, well, these playoff losses will make us better in the end. But you have a team last year that they might potentially face in the first round that went all the way to the final and is that much hungrier for more. It's now one of the top teams in the league. The issue I've got with the Leafs right now is I go back to what Brad Treliving has said about the defense corps. It's being done by committee and it's still a work in progress. Well, the Leafs have some great depth on the blue line. Don't get me wrong. But when your top four is that interchangeable, which it has been with this team all year on the blue line, that tells you something. It tells you they don't have those guys. And I think, you know, the way that I use Brody as the example, you know, he comes out of the lineup and Keith says it's got to be a mental reset and all this sort of thing. Tough matchups and that, and that he's had all year. You look at minutes played on this blue line and he was second when he came out to Morgan Rielly. So they keep putting him back out there in those situations and those sorts of things, those matchups, even though when they know he has not played his best hockey and they keep hoping for it. So they don't necessarily think they can have the guys that can go in there and take those minutes away from him, not over the long haul at least. So we'll have to see. Can it come together? Yeah. Which cup was it? The Penguins won, that Letang was out. And you even look back on now the blue line that they won with.
That was, what's his name? Ron Hainsey.
Hainsey jumping out at you. Is Brian Dumoulin jumping out at you? You know, whoever else. I don't have it in front of me, but there were a lot of guys in that team that were just good, solid depth defensemen, but they did get it done. So the Leafs can. I don't think there's, you know, are they falling off the map here? No, I'm not saying that, but I would have a little more confidence in the idea than go all the way if there was, you know, if that blue line was just a little higher end, if you will. If you look at some of those blue lines in the West, some of the things they're going to bring, even Carolina, like we saw last night. The Leafs just don't have that. And if they can get by it, that's great. But like I said, Florida's going to be a hell of a challenge in the first round if they get them. And I'm not saying the Bruins are going to be cakewalk either. That's going to be a tough one as well. But because, again, talk about a team that thinks that it's something to prove after what happened in the playoffs last year. But like you and I just discussed a second ago, if your goalie comes in and stands on his head, like I said, doesn't matter. Leafs don't care which one it would be, just the one that would do it. And a lot of other things will fall into place for you. And it could be that that's what happens for them.
Well, I'm looking forward to it either way. But Terry, I always look forward to getting some of your time. And I know you're very busy. And I know I bombard you all the time with coming on. But I want to say thank you very much. I really do appreciate getting to talk some puck with you and having you on, my friend. It's always a great time.
Yeah, always good to talk to you, James. Same here. It's always a good time well spent to talk to you. Good stuff.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you right now. 109 strong watching live. Pretty awesome. Appreciate you all from joining in. Make sure you go check out Terry over on Twitter. I'll drop his handle in the show preview. Also, make sure you follow us over on YouTube. Get on in there. But guys, this is Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and hockey come to talk.